Welcome to the Nourished and Free podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Yates, a registered dietitian, and this is where we talk all things intuitive eating, body image, and really just how to create a healthy relationship with food. Imagine looking at food and all you see are points. That's how my former client Allison felt after doing Weight Watchers for 15 years before she found me. Allison reached out over a year ago, went through my 16-week program, and has been implementing intuitive eating and body acceptance ever since. So this is a unique opportunity in terms of a client testimonial that we get to see somebody a year later. Allison has learned so incredibly much and has just a beautiful way of talking about where she was at, the process of getting to where she is now, and then also where she is now and how she looks forward to the future, that I didn't really want to cut out any of it because I just think it's so powerful. So this is a longer episode than usual. If you usually listen to this on your morning commute, maybe you'll listen to it on the afternoon commute back as well. I did not want to take away Allison's words because I just think they were so good and so powerful. So I hope that you'll enjoy this longer episode today. Let's hear it for Allison. All right. Welcome, Allison. This is the second time that Allison and I are sitting down for an interview because the first time I had a little technical issue. And so we had a full interview happen and it was fabulous and I couldn't use it. So Allison, you're the best for coming back on. I so appreciate you. Thanks for being here tonight.
No problem. I'm sorry that happened, but it would be just untold stories that we'll never be able to no one will never know. Maybe leak it someday.
Yep, they're gonna live in my closet and they're just gonna stay here because I record in my closet. So so Allison, I wanted to have you on because of your experience with Weight Watchers. I think that I can talk about my thoughts on these kind of diets all day long, but it just means I haven't personally done Weight Watchers, so to have somebody come on that has done Weight Watchers and, you know, I'll let you talk about how long it was and everything, it's a lot more powerful. And then the amazing thing too, is that you're actually a past client of mine and you've gone through Nourished and Free. And so you've had the experience and the exposure of then shifting gears to intuitive eating. And so I love your perspective in terms of being immersed in diet culture, and I'm sure you'll talk about like even your mom being a part of diet culture and being a part of it. We're all a part of it, but just kind of the example that she set for you. And then now being an intuitive eater and trying to show your son how to do that. So yeah, I appreciate you being here.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Take a second and just tell me about you. Tell me about who you are, where you live, what you do.
I live in Omaha, Nebraska. I am, a nurse. I work in med-surg oncology. I'm a bedside staff nurse. I've been doing that for 5 years. I love it. I've tried to leave it, but I can't. I've been in Omaha for 5 years. And my family is from Northwest Iowa. Me and my husband have been married for a long time. We have one little boy named Isaiah. He is 2.5 and he is wild, but so sweet and so kind.
He's the cutest thing in the world.
Thank you.
He's so cute. I hope my son looks like him. I don't think he will, but yeah, you were a nurse through COVID too.
Yes, that has made my life a little harder. That's changed nursing as a whole.
Yeah. Well, why don't you kind of give me a brief overview of what your relationship with food and what your body image was like as a youngling before you ever started Weight Watchers?
As far back as I can tell, I knew I did not have a good body image. I think when I was the age of 5 is actually when I realized that I was fat. And I think that in the generation that I was in, that was obviously wrong in there, in everyone else's eyes, everyone's eyes. That was the age when I really realized I was fat, and ever since then, it's just been kind of like the constant, you need to fix yourself, you need to fix yourself. And I don't think I understood how I was supposed to at such a young age, but then around the age of 10 or so is when I was exposed to Weight Watchers. That's when I got started doing it, pseudo Weight Watchers. But I think as young as the age of 5, I think I relived this trauma with my therapist, that when I was a younger girl, first day of kindergarten, we had this tire tower. And I don't know, probably not the safest thing for kids to be playing in, but it kind of gives you like Recess vibes. You know what I'm talking about, that show back in the day? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so this tire tower, and all of my classmates, all the girls went into the tire tower, and apparently there was this wasp in there, and everybody else got out, and I did not get out, and I got stung by a wasp on the first day of kindergarten. So not a good start to my social, you know, dynamics of life, but it did make me a funnier person to cope with all that. But the reason why, I think, I don't know who said it, I can't quite pinpoint an exact person, but the reason why that was told by other people, by bullies in the class, is why I got stung was because I was too fat to get out of the tire mm-hmm. tower. Mm. I think like that was the start of it. And, you know, every doctor's visit, you're reminded of your size. Every time you put clothes on, you're reminded of your size, all that stuff. And then without having the right words around it, or rhetoric, is that the right word? Just the right people supporting you, mm-hmm. that simple fact that you possess more fat on your body or heavier weight, that was then changed into and villainized and changed into a bad thing that I was told I needed to fix.
Mm, yeah. We kind of talked last time a little bit about just like as a kid, the media messages that we would get about being fat and about media, and also just bullies and like friends and parents and stuff like that. What do you feel like were the messages that you picked up on about being fat as a kid?
I don't know. It's like, it's hard. Like when it comes to media, I can name specific things because I can pull them back. I can Google them. I can pull up I know people that are more aware than me that have gone through the intuitive eating, that are on the other side of it, but I can definitely pull out things that were harmful and hurtful to our generation. Mm-hmm. It's the stuff that wasn't in the media that I knew in my personal life that I think I blocked out, and I don't know who said what, when, where, but I know it was said. Because I know I had this feeling and impending sense of disappointment in my size of my body, which despite what people like to believe, it wasn't brought on by just like copious amounts of sugar intake. Like it wasn't brought on by, it was just my body. And looking back, it wasn't just, I don't know, it wasn't as dramatic as people have made it seem.
Yeah.
But anything outside the very small figure, anything outside like what a very small population of people actually naturally are, was wrong. But when it comes to like media presence, I mean, look back at any of the shows back then. I mean, there would always be a fat person being the one made fun of and bullied and all, like the main, like if there was a fat person in the show, the main purpose of that fat person was to be fat. Like they had no other character development. You talked about that last time too, and like bullied. And actually I even think about like this is Friends, and Friends is a little bit before me even, but I watched it and they had Monica was all dressed up in that fat suit, and like that was supposed to be something we made fun of. And so I don't know who was the person originally spreading all that information, but that was what it left us with. And as children, our parents, like my mom would grab her stomach and be like, and would say things like, my body's, you know, ruined and ugly. And it looks bad. And then she would try to tell me that my body was beautiful. And it's just like, those things don't align. It doesn't work in my head. Like as a child, especially as an adult, I can see what you're saying doesn't add up. But as a child, especially, you say one thing, you have to mean the other. You have to mean it and live it and be it, because you can't, kids don't see through those two different layers of people.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have seen it my whole life, and I don't know, it's just interesting to see where it's gotten me, because it hasn't gotten me any skinnier, you know. You know, if that was the goal, if the goal was to be skinny and that was the most ideal thing in the world, which it's not, but if that was, all this worrying, all this dieting, all this trying to constantly change myself has not gotten me in that quote unquote ideal body.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's like interesting being adults now to, and hearing about these child stars that we like looked up to so much that were on like Disney Channel or Nickelodeon or whatever. And how they were like, when we watched it, we were like, that's what I want to look like. But they were total string beans. And a lot of them, it was unnatural, right? If it's natural, it's like, who cares? You know, whatever, it's like healthy for them. But if it's unnatural and they could only get there by starving themselves, that's an issue. That's not a good role model. And so it's interesting now to hear, you know, being in our mid-20s or whatever, like the stars that are coming out being like, yeah, I had an eating disorder because I was constantly being pressured by my network to look a certain way or whatever. Like I can think of Jeanette McCurdy from iCarly or even Taylor Swift. Like I know she talked about that in her documentary. But yeah, it's just like, well, and then Selena Gomez, Demi Lovato, like they've talked about how they struggle with their relationship with food. And it's just like, why was that pressured so much on these kids that were stars in these shows or whatever? And you know, like if they're supposed to be a role model, shouldn't they be a role model of health? you know?
And that just goes to show like, I was just talking to another friend about this, but like the world doesn't care if you're sick. They just care if you still fill this mold. And, they don't care how you get there. And honestly, showing an example of your mental, then they make the funniest thing. The craziest thing is that then they'll make fun of you after you gain that weight and blame it on your mental health. Like Demi Lovato, they kind of, as she lived in a bigger body, they were like, look at you. And they kind of making it seem like it was her mental health that got her there, when really it was the opposite. It was the years and years of pressure and just not realizing that our bodies were not meant to be so modified by ourselves. Like we're not supposed to be able to change these things about ourselves. Like we're not, that's not something, it's unnatural, I guess, is what I'm looking for. And actually like your body actually defies that. The more you try to push against it, the more in the end, you'll end up pushing against it more. I'm finding that out now. Like at now in my life, I have been in this intuitive eating journey since, I don't know, I think year and a half, I think. And I started working with you around February of last year. Mm-hmm. But I've been on this journey for that long. And I think that I spent so much time worrying about what my body looked like at that exact moment, not thinking I have to live in this body and for another 70 years, you know, like not realizing that this is the body I've been given. I'm only worried about how I fit into the next thing for the next event, not how I'm moving my body for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's talk more then about that, the beginning of that diet. I mean, you said that started around 10 years old.
Yes. So that's what I say. And I think that's accurate. Afterwards, after talking, I was really thinking about that. I believe that's accurate because my mom started Weight Watchers. Weight Watchers opened in our community center in our tiny little town of 4,000 people. And my mom was overweight at the time, and she was underneath the same pressures as us. And so she went to Weight Watchers, and she wouldn't let me join Weight Watchers formally. Actually, she actually told me, advised against it because of there was a doctor's note around it that said, like, I don't know, like it said, you cannot join at this age unless you have a doctor's, like a physical doctor's note for it. But I kind of just started following the stuff that she had. So I used that. If anybody's been in Weight Watchers, you know, you had that, you know, they now have an app, which is just so crazy because I've lived such a generational, like such a life with Weight Watchers, but I feel like an old lady, but I'm almost only 28. So it's like, I feel like I'm 84 because I'm like, back in my day, we used to calculate our Weight Watchers points with a sliding scale paper thingy. And then we had this calculator and we, you know, things have progressed, but I had this, my mom had this book and I will never forget. We'd page through it before we went anywhere to eat and figure out what it was that I was eating. And you're given a set number of points for your body. And the points kind of equal the calories, carbs, fats, and then protein offsets all that. The more protein you have, the lower the points. That has progressed too. I would go off my mom's points, what she was supposed to be eating, which just looking back, I think this last time too, like was looking back, it's like, that is crazy that I was just a little girl going off of completely different person, completely different point in her life, calorie intake, essentially. It's like, that's not right at all. Yeah. And then I was judging literally everything I ate by that book. I mean, spending like time. And I did it loosely, like on my, I follow Weight Watchers at that age, but I did it so loosely because I wasn't really allowed to follow it because my mom would have been upset with me. At a certain point I had an iPod, one of those iPods that used to look like phones, like whatever. Anyways, and I downloaded an app that could allow me to input this stuff and I would track my stuff through there. And, I followed it faithfully for a very long time. I think when, around the age of, it was right before, is right, it's around the age of 14, I actually, followed it so strictly and really got into the app and actually turned it into something way more. I ended up just not eating at all for my days. I would figure out all the foods that were 0 points and I would only eat 0 point foods.
Yeah.
The whole day. So essentially no nutrients because, and even now, as I say that, I'm kind of like, well, maybe it was nutrients. I mean, you got your protein, you got this, you got that. And I'm like, no, that's all like all bullshit. Like, that's not real. Like, and it wasn't nutrients. I was surviving off of bananas and
yeah,
like one banana. And then I would just be surprised that I could not stand up fast. And like, I would black out and be like, Mom, is this normal? And she's like, yeah, sure.
Oh,
and that's a whole other thing because it's like my mom probably saw this happening, but I was praised so much for it that no one ever stepped in. But I, from the summer of, the summer between freshman year and sophomore year, I actually lost 60 pounds in a summer.
In a summer? Oh my gosh.
Yes. And so I came back in a whole new woman. Like my body is completely just like tiny as ever. And I'm going into my sophomore year and people are like, what happened? And they're like, wow, great. Good for you. Mm-hmm. And even that, I wasn't even allowed to say I went on a diet. I had to say it all happened naturally.
I just naturally dropped half of my body weight.
Because what 14-year-old can say they're on a diet? How embarrassing. So I was just like, oh yeah, you know, just living that healthy lifestyle.
I played outside a lot this summer. A lot of swimming.
Exactly. And you're like just looking at me, I'm just the definition of athletic, so you can totally tell I was doing all those things. yeah, I don't know. Meanwhile, I just know in my head right now, I'm just imagining myself, I was in my freaking room on that stupid exercise ball, just constantly doing these stupid little ab workouts and whatever else, because I think I realized at that point that what I was doing was unhealthy. I think I knew I was. I think I knew what anorexia was. I don't really know if I ever have said that that's really what I considered myself having, but I knew what disordered eating was, I guess I should say. Because that also was made to be something like pop culture. Like I was made to be kind of in. Like, hey, if you can look like Nicole Richie, I don't even know who Nicole Richie is. I just remember stupid people magazines my mom would have. You'd page through there and they'd be like, this is how much weight this person lost and this is how much this person. And I'm like, what the heck? I read those like in the bathroom. I was like looking through this. I would like read those and look at everybody's weight and all this. I mean, yeah. That I don't even know who these happy people are. Why the frick do I care what size they are? Yeah. Like, I can't, anyways.
Yeah.
So I followed Weight Watchers all the way through high school. Meanwhile, everybody else was just living a normal life. I was secretly tracking because you could not tell any of your friends that you were tracking. But I knew, or I was told, and I was convinced that if I didn't track, I would not maintain my weight and I would be overweight again and have to do it all over again. All through college, I tracked. I kept tracking. I actually got married to my husband at a really young age and moved to Maryland. And at that point in Maryland, my weight started to go up and I was like, oh, we need to do something about this. My phone's not working, like, or my tracking, the way I'm doing this right now currently isn't working for me. And I started actually paying for Weight Watchers at that point. And so I was a paying member.
You were not for it before?
No, the whole time there's like this app. I can't remember what it was called, but I have it like pictured in my head, but it was free that whole time. Cause up until the point I was 18, I legally couldn't be on it without a parental supervision. And I got married so young. I got married at 19. So, so I really only had a year to figure that stuff out.
Yeah.
But when I moved in with my husband, you know, started living life, started not caring what people thought as much because I wasn't surrounded by that toxic diet culture. Cause when you're with a guy and with your husband who loves you and with just male, I guess I shouldn't stereotype, but men in general just don't care as much, I guess, as much as we think that they should. And so I just started actually eating and my weight went up and I decided to enroll and actually pay for Weight Watchers. And then I paid for Weight Watchers for 5 years. And I paid $45 a month, which looking back, I'm like, how did I afford $45 a month at that point in my life? And I attended every meeting faithfully, almost just strangely looking back, like that's not my personality at all. I do not like that kind of organized social events. It makes me cringe. And I don't like getting together with a whole bunch of old ladies. But every week I would get along. I mean, I was the only person under the age of 30 there. I would walk in there every week. I would take all my clothes off basically. Get on the scale and weigh myself. I did that faithfully until I was 25 years old.
Wow. And was it okay when you did the weigh-ins? Was that in front of everybody? Like, could everyone there see you?
They're not supposed to be able to, but they can. And they can see the disappointment. They can see the person, the employee, the Weight Watchers employee writing your stuff on the card. They can see the Weight Watchers employee consoling you. They can see everything but the exact number. They can see the fact that you stripped down to every single article of clothing versus wearing your jeans and your sweatshirt in there. So they know. They know what they're, you know, everybody knows.
Yeah. Yeah. They know if you gained or you didn't, basically.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I just ran some quick numbers. $45 a month for 5 years was $2,700.
Good. Thanks for that. For what? Where am I now?
Yeah. Well, and I think that's kind of important. For the reason I did that was not to make you feel bad, but to actually just make other people listening to this normalize, I guess, how much money is like put towards these like desperate attempts, right? Of like, I need to control my weight. I need to look like Nicole Richie. I need to whatever, be the thinnest person in the room. And it's like, I don't know what it is, but like as women, I'm generalizing because I am a woman, so I can't speak for men here, but I feel like as women, we just lose our freaking minds when there's a possibility of weight loss. We're just like, yes, I'll do anything. And including spend 5 years and $2,700 doing a program that, you know, is basically just an expensive starvation program and ends up actually making my body kind of hate me in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Well, and a little plug for you is that that's how I decided. I actually kind of knew that number, and that's how I decided. I was like, I can do Michelle's program because I'm like, I can handle paying this amount of money for forever.
Mm. Yeah.
And so I paid to like actually see freedom that I could actually live with. And I just like that has been life changing for me. And that like is way worth way more than whatever information they gave me. I don't know. So that's just my plug for you. And so.
No, I appreciate that. And that's like, you know, I don't want to get into the economics of like why I charge what I charge, but there's usually a point where I'm like, we spend so much money just willingly and like, yes, I'll do whatever to be as thin as possible. But our mental health is just like being completely like our brain is literally being beaten up just over and over again in our hearts. And to get freedom from that and just like be able to live your life, like there, I think probably every day I'm like, I should raise my prices, but I'm not going to. I just feel like it is like it's worth so much at the end of the day. But I have to be reasonable about, you know, people and gas prices right now. So
it is just something that when you think about it, when you pull out the numbers like that, you're like, you gave money to something that I paid every month that. And I just to do what? To go somewhere and get information from not licensed professionals, from a corporation that was owned, I'm just guessing, speculating, but not owned by somebody who's a licensed professional. And I don't know what nutrition or dietitian, or I don't know what you'd be a licensed professional in for that situation, but you weren't speaking to even medical professionals like whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I think that's where part of the reason why I got kind of like, I feel like knowing what I know now, I could never go back to something like that. I guess it's just hard. And it's hard to see the rest of the world still living in that. I feel like I'm in my own little bubble. And I'm like, when I hear people talking like at work today, it was like, I mean, nonstop diet culture. And I'm just like, what? I thought we were over this. I thought we all had moved on. I guess it was just me.
Nope, just me. That was me.
I just sit there quietly, like, I have nothing in common with you guys when you talk about this stuff anymore, because I feel like I've learned something new, and that is that I don't have to constantly be thinking about what I'm putting in my body. Actually, I don't, besides the fact that it tastes good, and there's limits, I guess. There's limits, but not in like this way of caloric intake or anything like that. There's like things that you learn that you can just eat. You can literally just eat.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then you just move on.
I feel like the closest comparison I have in terms of like, if somebody's wondering like, man, I wonder what that's like to just be able to eat and not be worried about what I'm eating or like how many calories or points it is. I feel like the closest comparison I have to that is like becoming a parent. I mean, that was like my world went from black and white to color. Like you look back and you're like, what was important to me then? You know, like what was I doing?
Yes.
It's so your life just completely changes. And that's like the closest thing that I can think of in terms of finding like food freedom or just mastering intuitive eating and learning how to set yourself free from all that BS diet culture stuff is like, I can live my life now. And that's like, it's colorful and beautiful and it tastes good. And like, it feels good, you know?
Do you want to know why, like the mental health part of it, like you, when you're dieting the whole time, your mental health is just shit. Like you are just anxious. You're having obsessive thoughts. You are depressed. You're not feeling well. You're working out past the point of comfort. You're eating past the point of comfort. You're not eating past the point of comfort. There's nothing about that your brain is like, please stop. But you silence that because with this obsessive type behavior, I was able to silence all those like psychological symptoms, I guess. So I was silencing because I was able to obsess. I was able to work it out. Like if I eat this much here and this much there and it equals this much. I can do save this many points for this. And I can actually in my brain, which is crazy, I can think, I can pull memories back from, I don't know, at least 7-8 years ago of exact foods I ate and exact times I saved calories. Like right now I have some stupid fried ice cream stuck in my head of this exact restaurant I ate it in because I was so obsessed with the calories when I looked at it. And I knew how much, or not calories, I guess points, but I knew how much points it was. And I, right now when I'm talking about it, I can go back to that memory. I don't remember who was even with me when I ate it. I don't remember what we talked about. I don't remember the memories that we shared, but I remember, mm-hmm. I remember that. Like, that's just crazy. And then mm-hmm. people, you know, after all that was all, after I had nothing else to numb out that emotion, that anxiety, that depression that came because I have just forced myself to be in this body or forced myself to eat a certain way that just wasn't right for me. My body was screaming at me, no, but I had numbed that response. I was like, oh my goodness, I need to sort this stuff out. Like that was another hardest part about all this. It's like when it came to intuitive eating, the science of it made sense. If you read enough of the books, if you immerse yourself in enough of the anti-diet culture, you actually are like, oh, this makes so much sense. Science-based makes so much sense. And you're having healthcare professionals. You have to, like, I had to follow healthcare professionals that were like co-signing all this. Cause I was like, and that's why reaching out to you is so important. Cause I'm like somebody who has like an actual education is saying that that's very important to me. And once all that, but then I was left with why does that make sense to me? But I'm just not adding up to my body image and to my, like my body image is still struggling and I'm just, it's not all adding up. It's because I had repressed all that. And I've never addressed that in my, since I was 10 years old, I've never addressed my body size and like, then like, and actually addressed my feelings towards it. Yeah. And I refuse to actually still to this day, we go to therapy. I pay for therapy every month too. And I show up every month and I still refuse to talk about it. I'll find anything else to talk about.
Well, I think that is like such a great example of why I'm such an advocate for losing weight is not going to fix all your problems. And we just think that that's like the cure all. Like if I lose weight, I'll become healthier. I'll be happier in my body, blah, 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 blah. Not only is there an issue with our method of weight loss, but also if you're not getting to the root of your body image and how you feel in your body and how you view bodies and how you even just put your worth in body size or don't, then you're never going to be thin enough. You're never going to be skinny enough. And that's like just constantly, that's a hamster wheel of unhappiness. If we're just like, we never address body acceptance. And that's like, that's why when I work with women, like I'm like, hey, I would love for you to feel like Beyonce after working with me and just be, well, I guess, I don't know. She probably has her insecurities too, but, but I can imagine she's pretty confident and like, I would love to, in other words, just like turn a switch and you feel body positivity. Like I would love to do that for you, Allison, where it's just like every day you wake up and you're just like body positivity all day long. But that's pretty unrealistic to just like jump into that from years and years and years of denying our body and like feeling not at home in our body. Like we just have to feel neutral and that's a win. Like that's a huge win. If we can feel like, no, I just feel safe. I feel like at the least, I feel at peace. I don't necessarily have to be obsessed with this body and like posting pictures of my cellulite all over the internet, but as long as I feel like I'm okay with this, you know, like, yeah. And then I think that's a huge win. And that's when you can really feel that freedom.
Yes. And I think that's a minute by minute thing, actually. It's like maybe it grows. I'm still kind of in like the hour by hour, actually, where like I had to stop checking myself. I had to intentionally turn my body checking and I intentionally turn my face away from the mirror and intentionally stop grabbing my body and like actually start like touching like my abdomen and stuff like with actual like love. And that sounds like kind of weird, but like I could not handle anybody touching my stomach at all. When I was pregnant, it was like, ooh, like everybody's touch your stomach. Like all the doctors have to touch all the time. Like, ooh, this is not good. But I had to intentionally be like, this is, I can appreciate this. I can just be, I can just not appreciate it. I'm at the point where I'm just with it. I'm just here. And what's interesting is we're told, like, people will praise you for when you're skinny, and you can look back at pictures and, of when I was very, very skinny, and I can think, and I can even partially fool myself and be like, wow, you know, I wish I was there. And I think to myself, I was so sick. I was so sick. Mm-hmm. And the worst part about it is that that type of behavior is what, like, Weight Watchers is praising and, you know, standing by and letting happen and constantly finding ways. And it's not based on anything. It's not based on science, I guess. I mean, maybe in some way they think it is. I'm sure they've got themselves fooled, but even if the employees lower on the bottom, lower on the totem pole, like the managerial type thing, like the actual people leading the meeting, think it's helping and think that they're, what they're doing is impactful and think that, what they're doing is based on science. The fact is like, in the end, they financially benefited from the fact that I was stayed heavier in my weight and the fact that I could not be convinced to appreciate my size. Mm-hmm. If at any point in that 15 years of actually like doing Weight Watchers, I had convinced myself that my body was beautiful, they would have lost like a customer. Yeah. $40 a month, $45 a month. And they actually profited off the fact that, like, whenever I got, so once you get to lifetime, which is like you have to get to your, whatever you set your goal weight at, and your goal weight is, has to be within the BMI chart. And so whenever you get to your goal weight, and you stay there for 6 weeks within 2 pounds of that weight, 2 pounds up, 2 pounds down, but within 2 pounds, you can become a lifetime member. And as a lifetime member, you have to weigh in once a month instead of every week. And then when you weigh in, you have to be within that 2 pound range or you will pay money. And at that point, you like literally take out your pocketbook and pay.
Wow.
And so that
2 pounds too, that's like literally the difference of me at 8 a.m. versus me at 2 p.m.
Yes. And that can, I can speak to that in just a second. When it comes to, like, they told me at a certain point, I was at like my lowest weight I've ever been. And I guess there was a bottom range and they were like, well, you could never, the reason why they thought they were doing a good thing is because you could never be below your lowest range. You could never be below what your height was, but you also could change your height. So I could be I'm 5'9" and I could be 5'8" for the sake of this. And I could go down to whatever weight is supposed to be said. It's supposed to be at that, according to the BMI chart. Anyways, as long as I didn't reach that underweight category, I could keep modifying my height. No one ever checks that. I got to a certain weight, and looking back, that was not a good weight for me to be at. And they kind of advised me that I could go lower, and that in the end, I mean, it took me until just recently to realize that they were probably doing that so they could make money off of me, because otherwise they lose money on me being a free person, even though, like, that was still way below what I was supposed to be at. That was like right on the edge of underweight. That was like a size I'd never been before. But, and even then you're sat at the meeting and they make you stand up and they're excited for you and they're praising you for your weight loss. And they're, oh, I forgot about this. They would give you these charms for each time you lost weight, a certain increment. And then they give you a little charm key holder. And I had that charm as dorky as ever, but they were cute little charms. And I was so proud of myself. But I had the charm on this wallet thing I would carry around everywhere because I was so proud of the weight I lost because I thought I was a better person because of it. There was a certain amount of eliteness added to my weight loss. Like, and it's the phrasing, it's the wording, it's the life around that it makes it super, super toxic. Super toxic.
Do you find yourself obsessing over food or wondering, do I have a food addiction? Are you wishing so desperately that you could see someone else when you look in the mirror? Are you fed up with trying every diet under the sun only to wind up binge eating and emotional eating and having tons of food guilt later? I used to think that counting every calorie was the key to making sure I was in control of food, but the truth was I needed a simple, adaptable style of eating that I could rely on for the rest of my life and that did not take up extra time, money, or energy. When I started intuitive eating, it was like the world went from being in black and white to color. My PCOS symptoms were reversed. I could eat spontaneously without fear of binging or having food guilt later on. And I had more mental space to put towards my dreams, my goals, and my loved ones. If you're ready to stop letting fear of binging, emotional eating, and how you look in your body take away those valuable moments in your life, I'd like to invite you to apply for Nourished and Free, my group coaching program. Visit yatesnutrition.com/application to apply. And if it's a good fit, I'll send you an extra special private training all about my 4-part system that I use to get rid of food guilt, emotional eating, binge eating, and to get off of that dieting roller coaster. Visit yatesnutrition.com/application to apply now and receive that free training. So I'm curious, Allison, like with gaining weight then, because, you know, these systems set us up to fail, you know, as you know, and as I've talked about before, like they set us up to lose weight and then our body fights back and is like, hang on, that's not healthy for me. And then we gain weight because we either have our metabolism slowed down or we can't resist food anymore because it's just been too long, or it's a combination of both. There's a lot of things actually that go into it, but that's kind of a quick summary. The weight comes back and then it keeps you in that lifetime cycle of like, okay, well now I need to lose weight again. So I'm curious, like with getting those messages and like standing up in front of people and having them clap for you when you lose weight and everything, and even people in high school telling you how amazing you look when you lost the weight, how did you then feel when the weight came back?
I still struggle with that a lot. You start, you know, the world, everybody tells you that you are more loved when you are in a smaller body. And so when you start to not get in a smaller body, all those things come back. Like no more praise, no more even comments. People won't even comment on your outfit because they're afraid that that would imply that you, whatever. And then I have people in my life, actually in my family, who like they won't make comments about me being fat, but they'll talk about being fat in general. And I'll be like, yeah, I'm fat. And they'll be like, no, you're not. And I'm like, no, like I've come to terms that I'm fat and I'm really okay with that. Like you can't, like my hair is blonde, my skin is white and I'm fat. Like those are defining factors of me. And that is fine. And I think there's days I don't feel 100% about that, but it's something that, why are we carrying around this negative nastiness around this? Like, why does it have to be held in this light of it's a bad thing? I move my body more than most people do. I am a successful, like I'm a successful nurse. I'm a successful mom. Like I am a functioning person. I'm a kind person. I don't know. There's a lot of things to me. And my size is the least of all those things. Like my size is the body that I walk around in does not, it is, I'm not going to deny it. That's the thing I've had to come to terms with. I can't just pretend like it is a different size, but it's my body. It's like a mode of transportation to get me to do all these great things. And if somebody sees me, my worth as the size of my body, they don't see me for me. And like, that is something that I struggle with daily, but is something that I have to come to terms with because I can't back out of this now. Like there's no going back from where I'm at. I can't ever unsee diet culture for what it is. Yeah. And so I have to just trust my body. And after 15 years of not trusting my body and only like a year and a half of trusting it, it's been so hard. And I just constantly have been like, I can still tell you how many points is in every food thing in my cupboard right now. And that's not even scraping the surface of how disordered Weight Watchers has made me. But I, each day I have to decide that, like, you still deserve to eat the next meal. And actually, by not eating the next meal, I have to, this is what I convinced myself. Actually, by not eating the next meal, by skipping the next meal, by skipping this, by missing out on this thing, like missing out on this social event, that's actually worse in the long run. Like I said earlier, it's like, I, when you're in diet culture, you're so obsessed with how you look for the next year or two or three, but you're not thinking about the next like 70 years of your life that you have to live, or however long. That opens up a whole nother thing. That's like, as a nurse, I see that, I know the fact that actually mortality rates are lower, higher. You are quicker to be sicker and die if you are of a lower body weight when you get sick with cancer. You actually are more likely to survive if you're a plus size woman or man, you know? And so like things like that, when you see stuff, it's like, we, that's just, that's a whole, that's a side tangent of like, we have forced this idea, and everything about what science is slowly saying is like, that's not right. Like, you are actually, there's actually stuff to be proven that actually being like the body you're in right now, hating it right now, is not going to make it any smaller.
Right. Right.
And it hasn't gotten me there yet. Like I have been skinnier. I'm the fattest I've ever been, but I've been skinnier, and now I'm here I'm at, and I'm in a place in my life when I have so much more time and ability to have more thoughts that aren't centered around food. I used to be constantly obsessed with it to the point where I don't think I thought about anything else. I can't remember what I thought about, just back to like what you were saying about before you had kids, like it's black and white and then it's color. It's like, mm-hmm. I don't really remember how I even did anything.
Yeah.
Like at all. Like, wow, I consumed my life with it.
Yeah.
And now it's like, that's not even an issue. And actually, if you are to look at my body size and to judge my health, that is unfair. And if you're a provider and you judge my health by my body size, that is like unethical. And also just like, it doesn't actually check out, because, you know, ask me if I've binged. I have not binged in the last year. I have not. I, you know, there's so many parts of like actually things that I've made that made me look, and things that I've done that show that my body is where it needs to be. And so to tell me, for the world to tell me it's not meant to be that, I have to constantly remind myself like that I know more than the world knows about my body. I know my body better. And also, even if this isn't the body I'm supposed to be in, for example, like even if I was to entertain the thoughts of like, I need to be in a smaller body, my son sees me in this body, and I don't even want him for a second, even though he's 2.5, I don't want him for a second to think that our bodies are not right and that we need to fix them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't care what you look like. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're able-bodied or not. I don't care your size. Your body is your body is the body you've been given. I don't want my son to ever think that he has to change that about him.
Yeah. I love that. You mentioned like you haven't binged in a year and you feel like you move more than the average person, right? And oh, I mean, you're a nurse. Like, yeah, you do for sure. Like, you're probably walking like 7 miles a day. But what do you feel like the intuitive eating process and even just body acceptance process, like what other health promoting behaviors, like actual health promoting behaviors that we know with research, what else do you feel like you've been able to, I guess, adopt more easily now that we're not so focused on weight loss and dieting?
What's funny is like, I never enjoyed a single salad in my life until intuitive eating. Because I didn't realize that the reason people like salads was because they had dressing on them and all these, not just dressing, but like all these other toppings and meats, yeah, and whatever else with them. And it's like that kind of a thing. Like I eat more vegetables than I ever eat, yeah, because I can add crap to them and not like eat them, yeah, in their most rawest form. Because in Weight Watchers, when you add anything to it, it automatically makes it points. So a carrot that has any type of sugar or honey or sweet stuff to it is points. And well, although sodium, although salt is not considered a point, it was also a little nick. You had to like, there's like a little checkbox you had to check at the end of the day. It was like, did you watch your sodium? Did you drink your water? And like, those were things. So that they didn't have a point to quantify that, but that did have some value to it. But when it came to like, I would never have had a single dressing in my life that wasn't like fat-free, sugar-free, basically just vinegar, because I couldn't, those all had points to them. And so like, I was like, why everybody loves salad so much? I was like, oh, well, that's because I was eating garbage before. And like, what's interesting is like the food I actually eat now is more whole in all that sense. Like I am not saying I don't eat other stuff, but it's like the stuff I eat altogether. If you look at my day or if you look at my week or my month, I eat way more whole foods, actual real foods, rather than this processed synthetic crap that I was eating that was convinced to me that Weight Watchers or diet culture convinced me that like that was what's supposed to be healthy. It's like eating these fake protein bars and protein powders and stuff. I would tell people like, I don't like the taste of them. My body like does not like them. My stomach does not like them. They don't sit well with me. Like, and not people, but Weight Watchers, for example, would be like, well, they're low in points and they're this and they'll give you energy. And you can drink that in the morning and get, you know, that can be your food for the day. And I was like, okay, well, I convinced myself of that. I guess that's the case. And I'm like, my body didn't like that because it was all fake. I mean, maybe people like that stuff. It's just fake crap to me. Like, and looking back, like I said this last time, I was like, I didn't realize how much I ate Splenda for it. I never ate real sugar ever. I would bake with Splenda. I would cook with, everything would be Splenda. First off, looking at Splenda now, you know, a year and a half removed from it, and even a little bit more than a year and a half, because that while the point while I was breastfeeding my son, I was like, that was kind of the point when I was like, eh, like I'm not going to try super, super hard.
Yeah.
But looking at Splenda, I'm like, this is just the fakest stuff in the world. And it tastes so bad. And I would rather have my one cup of coffee with my one real sugar than think about the fact that I just like, I have that taste in my mouth and constantly be thinking about the fact that I should have had something different or should have had something more. And that's just been a whole game changer for me. Like, oh, this is an example that I remember when I started my job, because I have coworkers that I've known the whole time. I was obsessed with peanut butter. Obsessed. I couldn't have it in the house. And when I, because I did want it in the house for things like baking and stuff like that, I'd have my husband hide it for me. He'd hide it because I asked him to. And he's a great husband. Despite what he wanted to do, he would hide it in stupid spots, and then I would find it, and then I would eat like so much peanut butter. I don't really like peanut butter that much. I realized.
Yeah.
Like I can have it on things and it's good. But it, like, I don't really like it that much. And I used to be so obsessed with peanut butter that I would like, wouldn't care what brand. And I'd also drink, eat that powdered peanut butter because that was lower in points. And I can't, first off, can't believe I ate that because I hated it every time I ate it and I did not enjoy it. But I'd convinced myself I did. But I look at that and now peanut butter sits in the cupboard 24/7 and I don't ever feel the need to eat spoonfuls of it.
Yeah.
And so don't you dare measure my health by my body size when you don't, you never knew what was going on behind closed doors.
I think that's like, well, like we struggle to talk about binge eating and emotional eating and stress eating and everything. Cause it's like, I mean, the stigma around it, we just feel so embarrassed. And once you kind of make that connection of like, actually when I'm forcing myself to restrict and diet and I'm just like white knuckling, I'm honestly guaranteeing myself that I'm going to end up with a jar of peanut butter behind closed doors eventually. Like that's when you kind of make that connection, it's powerful. And it,
yeah.
Cause we continue to think, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we continue to think when we binge or when we have things like episodes like that with like peanut butter or whatever it is, Oreos, whatever, then we just need to restrict more to make up for it. And that will like solve the issue.
Mm-mm. And that's just worse. That makes it worse. It's just, I can never unsee it. And that's the thing. Like I've even, I have it at dark points in my life, dark points in my life, I have like thought about going back to the world of culture. And then I'm like, I just can't, like, I can't, mm-hmm. I like try to entertain the idea. And it's like, it just doesn't make sense to me. It's like, I don't know. I can't go back to that lifestyle of so much guilt and so much hurt because I would overeat on something. I just, like I said this example before, like for the Oreos, I remember you were like, well, what's one thing that you like to eat and you never have had in the house? And I said, well, I guess Oreos. And you're like, okay, we'll go buy those. And I was like, you know, like that's a big deal, you know, to have Oreos in my house.
And my dietitian told me to go get Oreos. Okay.
Yes. And that's the whole thing. And honestly, because you're a dietitian, that made me sign off on it. Like, honestly, it really took that like person with a degree to be like, this is okay. And I'm like, she blessed it. So I even left there with the Oreos. And I left with like one of those little mini packages, like six Oreos. And I don't think that's what you meant. I think that you meant like just buy a normal size of Oreos. And I sat there with the six Oreos and I obsessed over them. And I was like, okay, I'll just eat them. And like now I have packets of Oreos in packages of Oreos in my house. And I don't eat them. Like I eat them when I want them, but I don't like sit there and think about them. Imagine all the time I would think about the food. And I challenge myself to do that. Like whenever I'm hungry for something, I just get it. I just eat it. Like, unless there's some other reason why I can't, like, but I just eat it and I eat it. And I'm like, well, that was okay. And
yeah,
you know, sitting with stuff, like I didn't realize that Weight Watchers had convinced me that I was uncontrollable with food. Like I could not be left alone with any food. I would eat anything that was there if it was given to me. They had scared me to the point where it was like, only if you followed this will you ever have a normal life again. Because they had convinced us that it was, all diets do this, but they had convinced us that overeating in any aspect or eating too much of whatever food they labeled bad at the time, which has changed it. Because years ago, before I even started Weight Watchers, back in my day, before my day, they used to say hot dogs were the best thing. Like those were the epitome of health. Like they were the best points you could get with hot dogs. And so I don't know where I went on that tangent, but this is a separate tangent. Is that if you pull back from all of these diets, like for Weight Watchers, for example, and you pull back and you follow it, the history of it, and you see who was the CEO and what do they have, like who was in their pockets, you know, like who was paying for their stuff. And then you figure out, you know, you watch the progression of it and you figure out what food was okay back then versus what food's okay now versus what food will be okay in the future. You see it and you, in a delusional state, you might say for health. Okay, there's no way back in like, I don't even know what year, they thought hot dogs were ever healthy. I mean, they don't even look healthy. I mean, I shouldn't even talk badly about them, but they're hot dogs, but they look scary. I mean, they really don't look like you can't really look it in the eye. But I just feel like you follow it and you're thinking, wow, they must have just grown to learn more. And you're like, when you're in it, you're realizing that they're just learning how to take your money and how to keep coming back. I mean, if they change the plan a little bit this way and a little bit that way, they can target more people. If they take Weight Watchers and put WW instead, so people don't know. And
the stigma is magically removed and it's not a diet. It's a lifestyle and it's a good
thing. And that's what's funny is they told from the beginning, it was always a lifestyle. I mean, it was never was, you know, if you were even asked my mom, she still to this day would say it's a lifestyle. Sorry, mom, if you ever listen to this podcast, but it's not, it's a diet. It's disgusting. But that's what they were told. And then now it made the move from Weight Watchers to WW. I wore that proudly. I was like, yeah, it's WW now, like doesn't have the weight with it, whatever else. But you still went in and weighed yourself and they still watched your weight. So like, I don't get like how, like nothing about the dynamic could change. That would have been a great time for them to be like, hey, we're no longer taking the weigh-ins as, you know, as the weight is. But then they instead said, it's not just the weight, you can measure yourself in other ways. And all this other stuff. I'm like, you're missing the point. And the whole thing was just, so then they keep people coming back and they can re-advertise. And people, once we gained more knowledge, once, you know, however many years ago when hot dogs was all it took for women to realize that they could lose weight, they're like, oh, easy. But once we learned more like once I was like, once each person was like, huh, that seems a little weird, they would twist it just a little bit. So then we would be like, oh, they're coming to terms with it. They understand that Weight Watchers is a bad way to say it. So let's call it WW from now on. What does WW even stand for? I don't even get it. Like, that was so stupid.
I know. I know. They follow the narrative, right? They're like, okay, body positivity. Like, we kind of need to, like, you know, we don't want to get flack for that, for not doing that. So we have to, like, make sure we're a little bit more sensitive, but not change the underlying system, you know.
And meanwhile, on your name tags, if you were employed there, it would say so and so minus this, lost this many pounds. I mean, so like, you couldn't get rid of that, but you could change the whole brand, which you didn't really change that much. You just got rid of it. You know, you can never trust anything. This is when it boils down. You can never trust a business. You can never trust a business for actually your health in general. You have to trust greater than that and bigger than that. And you can't put your soul, faith, and health in a point system that changes every year around November. Exactly. Yeah. Like, literally the same time every year, around the time that January rolls around. You don't know why it starts in November? Is because it gives the current members long enough to practice it. So in January, when they promote it to the rest of the world for like the beginning of January, New Year's resolutions, we will have bought into it by then. And that was actually what they ended up telling us. And so like, this kind of thing is helpful so that you can promote it. Mm. And so it's like, you can't, I don't know, it's delusional to think that we trust that instead of trusting our actual bodies and actual science and whatever else. I mean, just even think about intermittent fasting is such a popular thing and probably still is. And I guess I'm looking to be at the bottom of everybody's hate list for all these things because I'm top of everybody's hate list.
Oh, cool. I mean, all this, like, out with me.
Yeah.
And I'm so, like, designated target number one when it comes to people's hate lists that are on diet.
It's like intermittent fasting was a big thing. And I don't know if they haven't done, that's not my vein of stuff, but I just recently heard, oh, it doesn't work like we want it to. Well, yeah, I know. That's because somebody came up with it and it wasn't founded in any truth.
Yeah.
It was just founded in like some remote thing that they figured out that if you just don't eat, then you won't gain weight.
Yeah. Yeah. Shocking.
Yeah, it's just so silly how they...
But then again, sets you up for binge eating and weight cycling.
Yeah, and that is the biggest point of all this. It's like, none of the stuff I did, none of the work I put in, none of the years of pain and not pain, whatever, but none of the hours I spent, I will ever get back, and none of it benefited me.
Mm.
I've actually had to spend more time unlearning that stuff. Like, I thought I was the pinnacle of health, simply, not even my body, but like, because I was able to know exactly how many calories were in everything.
Yeah.
Not knowing that would be the exact thing that would destroy me, you know, a year and a half ago.
Yeah. And remind the listeners, how long did you do Weight Watchers for in total?
I said about 15 years because I started when I was 10. And I stopped when I was 25.
And that was consecutive, 15 years straight.
Yeah, I never really stopped and never really tried anything else. I did other like somewhat fad diets and within that, but as long as they aligned with Weight Watchers, which
right.
I remember I did this one, that one cabbage soup diet. That was,
oh gosh, man. I don't even freaking know.
I freaking hate cabbage soup. I don't even like cabbage. And I was like, Mom, I'm going to buy a bunch of cabbage soup stuff. I'm like, Mom's probably thinking, what the world?
Let me guess, cabbage and water, and that was it.
Basically, yeah. And I can't remember. I could have grapefruits. Grapefruits are involved.
Oh,
somehow.
Gosh. Why is it grapefruits in weight loss? I am so over the grapefruit phase. Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. So let's say that someone is listening to this and they are still currently on Weight Watchers. What would you say to them?
Intuitive eating has given me, I'm a bigger life in so many other aspects. I am able to spend, like, be freer to understand people, love people. I'm able to take time and spend time that's not on my phone consumed with, like, what I'm tracking, my calorie intake, looking at packages of, like, the nutritional input. I'm not obsessing over the size I'm at. I have, my life has gotten bigger and my life is freer, and I am allowed to be and eat whatever I want to eat. And I'm given that freedom and almost the power back in my life. I don't owe my health to anyone else, and I can't attribute to anyone else besides myself. I did the work to get here, and I have to just let time play its role out. I will say that like Weight Watchers has convinced you of a lot of things, but if Weight Watchers was just like to literally stop as a business, like if you literally weren't to have anything left, because also another thing is Weight Watchers has convinced you that every other thing else is a diet and that everything else is bad. So they actually have to do a really good job of that, because they've convinced you that everything else is like not the right way. So like going to a different type of diet is actually a diet. This is a lifestyle. It's different. But if Weight Watchers was taken from you, what would you do? Like, how would you live your life? And moving forward, it's just, I don't know how to save people from it, because I see it every day and I'm like, oh boy, you guys, I just say read books, read all the anti-diet books out there, immerse yourself in anti-diet culture, and then realize that I'm coming from somebody who was in a very small body at one point. And I didn't start this journey, intuitive eating journey, to lose weight. And I didn't start it at my smallest size, but like dieting never got me anywhere. I lost weight, I gained weight, I lost weight, I gained weight. But all the while I was sickly obsessed with food. Sickly.
Yeah. Well, and I think what you said earlier, like, you know, looking at pictures of yourself when you were thinner, it's easy to be like, oh, I wish I looked like that again. But then to also take something that you said earlier about how you'd sit at the table with, I think it was the fried ice cream example, and like, you can remember even to this day specifically how many points that fried ice cream was, but you can't remember who you were with. So it's like, is it worth being stuck in a diet cycle and obsessive about points and calories and what you're eating for the chance of a smaller body size that's not even guaranteed if you're missing everything else around you?
Yes. And I think the biggest thing that pushed me towards moving this direction was looking at my son and being like, and thinking to myself, this isn't working for me. And also it's financially expensive.
Yeah.
And it almost at certain point seemed unnatural. Like every single thing, this is before I got to intuitive eating. It was like, I was kind of in that limbo of like breastfeeding. So I was like trying to figure out where dieting fit in my life. And I was like, it just doesn't seem right for my life. Like, I don't know how people diet and have kids at the same time. Like, especially like a 1-year-old, it's almost impossible. So I was like, something about this doesn't seem right. And also the biggest push of all this is my son, because when I looked at him and looked at his plate and tried to figure out, I was like, oh my goodness, now I'm obsessing over my food. I was already obsessing over my husband's food. I was already keeping track of his food in my mind, because I wanted him to be healthy too. And then also now I'm obsessing over my son's food. Like, I don't have enough mental capacity for anyone else or anything else. And also to think like, this can't be the answer. If restricting something equals health, then since I restricted my whole entire life, then why are you guys telling me I'm now unhealthy? Mm-hmm. And so I couldn't fathom the idea of like how if I told my I couldn't fathom the idea of telling my son no to something and then finding out he'd be in the same exact position I'm in years down the road and being like, Mom, why did you do that to me? And so that was like the biggest push to it all. It's like it's more than just me, and it's the life that you're living on. And like, I don't want my child to grow up in a world where he's restricted from anything, let alone food. And also I want him to be able to trust his body, and realizing that children are just intuitive eaters, innate intuitive eaters. Like they drink until they drink whatever they're drinking. Like even breastfeeding, they drink until they're full. They eat until they're full. Mm-hmm.
Straight out the womb, they're a little intuitive eaters.
Yes. And so seeing that, and then my body almost like regurgitating against that, being like, oh, but what if you eat too much of that? And then finding out I actually was following intuitive eating kid pages before intuitive eating adult pages, and it wasn't even really called intuitive eating at that, like when I was looking it up, it was more just like how to feed your kids food and make them want to eat. How to make them want to eat more vegetables, kind of a thing. Well, the point was, is just put the vegetables on their plate and don't say anything about it.
Yeah.
And so things of that sort of like, if I'm just allowed to eat that and like putting the brownie on the plate with the kids' food. Mm-hmm. And I could speak on that whole thing because I have seen direct contrast in people who have raised their kids intuitively versus non-intuitively. And you are just fighting nature.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that what you said earlier about like, if you remove Weight Watchers, what are you left with? Is so, it's so powerful because there's your argument. I feel like for intuitive eating, like you can't remove intuitive eating. Like it's a part of you.
Yes.
You know,
it's not a business.
It's not a program that you have to follow. It's not an app you have to download. It's literally just your body's programming. And so you can't take it away. It's reliable for the rest of your life. And I feel like that should be enough logic, I guess, for people to be like, okay, maybe this actually does make more sense than me following Weight Watchers for the rest of my life and paying $45 a month. But again, as we touched on earlier, when women have this faint hope of weight loss, it's just all logic goes out the window. So it's hard to get somebody to see that until they've unfortunately hit rock bottom. Mm-hmm.
And you don't even know you're at rock bottom until you're like halfway, like you're sitting in there for like 6 months.
Is there anything for somebody listening to this that might identify with your story, but they haven't taken that next step towards body acceptance, intuitive eating, the whole spiel? Is there anything that you would want them to hear that maybe you wish somebody had told you when you were at that turning point or before the turning point?
If you are at the point that I was at and you have done a diet for so long and it kind of betrayed you and it kind of felt wrong to you, even if you're not there yet, before you go, like if you're feeling like your weight's not where you want it to be, you just can't figure it out, you're just feeling anxious about every get together possible and all these things, realize that that is attributed to the diet. It's not you innately being like that. You're not innately an anxious person around food. You are not a binge eater. You are not disordered at your roots. Like that's not what you have been created to be. You've actually the opposite, and realize that the way you can get out of this, the way you can move forward is to actually just remove yourself from this and seek help in whatever way possible, and to do the work, the actual hard work it takes, which is very hard. And it's a long time coming. Just about as much time as you spent in diet culture, you're probably going to spend in recovery. It feels like to me, at least. And so you have to realize that the way that people have been saying things all these years and been telling you that you need to try something else, pay for something else, be something else, just realize that those things are spread by people who are trying to make a profit off of your insecurity.
That's so good, Allison. Oh, it's so awesome being able to see your growth. I mean, there's nothing more rewarding for me than to see you, somebody that I met over a year ago, just continuing to get results after results after, and just freedom after freedom after. I mean, that's really what we're seeing here. It's just, I feel like you're becoming a better and better version of yourself, you know, and it's cool for me to watch. I love it.
And there's just like, this is the biggest thing. It's like, there's more to me now than there ever was back then. Mm-hmm.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for coming on again, taking time out of your busy life. I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate it and appreciate you. I have no doubt that this episode is speaking to somebody right now, even if it's just one person. It was worth it, you know? And I think just dieting and like we touched on binge eating, like just weight shame, all of this is It's something that we feel alone in until we hear stories like yours. So thank you for being willing to share.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's, if that's one thing I can do, then I will do it, because I don't want anybody else to suffer and be miserable in the diet culture world that we live in. And I want more people on our side of anti-diet. I don't want to be the only person in the room.
Only person in the break room.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, it might take some time, but we can hope and pray that you'll get there.
Yes.
All right, Allison. Well, thank you again.
You're welcome.
Keep in touch. Send me pictures of that adorable baby. And we'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being a listener to my podcast. I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate your support. If you would take a minute and leave me a review, that would mean the world. I would love to know what you think, or even just a quick 5-star rating would be incredible. If you have a specific question or topic that you would like me to talk about on a future episode, send me an email at michelle@yatesnutrition.com and I would love to add it to my lineup. I'm always looking for new ideas. And if you're ready to get help with healing your relationship with food and with fostering that body acceptance so that you can feel comfortable in your skin for the rest of your life, send me an email and we'll talk about how we can work together. My email is Michelle, that's with 2 L's and an E at the end, @yatesnutrition.com. Again, that's Michelle@yatesnutrition.com, and I can't wait to hear from you.